I was not in Pittsburgh for 6 months. I was somewhere else. And I tried to learn English, like how Rishabh said, in YouTube videos. I tried to do that, like, in my language to English, and then I tried to understand how to say, like, how to introduce yourself, how to ask someone else to introduce themselves. Not a lot, but still. And I helped my brothers, sisters, to how to do it, how to learn it. And then when I went to school, it was still hard for me to understand the subjects, the classes, and the languages. But making friends, it was, for me, like, I think it was easy because I tried to speak their language, and if not their language, I tried to understand English a lot. I tried my best, and like if I go today to home and I want to make a friend tomorrow, or I have a friend, I know her, I met her, or is it him or her, doesn't matter, and I try to like learn something in English so I can talk to her tomorrow as a conversation, and I make a friend. I already did. So it was like, for me, it was a lot of easier. And about subjects, math was for me the hardest one, and science. Because my English was not that good at science class. And I tried it. I tried my best. I met a lot of new people. I met people who I can speak their languages. And we help each other. We do help each other. Because if I don't understand, and they do understand, they try to explain it to me. At first, it was teacher, but if teacher is busy, you can ask a friend who is next to you, behind you, in front of you, or beside you. And you can ask them, like, if you need help with anything, or do you want to know, or you don't understand. They will definitely help you, and that's how the school life was for me. And now, I think it's a lot of easier for me because I do speak English, but I do speak other languages, too, so it's easier for me.
Can anybody else relate to what Via just said?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So for me, when I come here, the first thing I realized was that the school system was different. So to, you have to change the way you was like you used to learn to adapt to the new system. Yeah. So it was different, like maybe in my country we don't use computer to work. Here we do use it. So if you don't know how to use computer, it will be more hard for you to be able to work. So when the first thing I realized was the school system, yeah, it was hard to adapt the first time. And then, but now I'm pretty much used to it. So
interesting. So just learning a new set of rules, or just the world works a little differently depending on where you are.
Yeah.
That's a great observation. We only have a minute or two left. I can't believe how fast this time has gone. Does anybody who hasn't – well, I want to be sure anything you would like to say, but anybody who hasn't had much time – to talk yet. Do you want to add anything? You're welcome to. Anybody else have any thoughts? Yeah, come on up. Get that microphone next to you and let us hear from you. You're good.
I think the first time I come here, in my school, I'm the only one that speaks French, so I need to adapt with people that speak English. It was so difficult. So I tried to learn with them and try to listen to the new word and write in the book ladies I can use.
Where are you from again?
Cameroon.
And you were the only one, did you say, I couldn't hear you, you were the only one who spoke?
That speak French.
French. And there was nobody else there in school with you?
No.
That's got to be very difficult, not even teachers?
No.
Wow. I admire each of you a great deal. Thank you for coming here this morning. I hope you'll come back sometime. It would be wonderful. We're open during the week, and at other times we'll make sure that you know about that. And I also want to thank our friends at Arise Pittsburgh, ARYSEPGH www.ucs.org. I know school's right around the corner. I hope it's a good year for all of you. And thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with, see if I hopefully remember everybody, Rashab, Raul, Olgalin, Via, Naomi, Solomon. This is Larry, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUCFM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and slbradio.org. Coming up, Snappin' Bug, the Snappin' Bug String Band, right around the corner.
Do what you love, love what you do. Now I'd have chosen a different road, done exactly as I pleased, and not just what I was told. Had that job to fall back on, but I couldn't get ahead. Somewhere, sometime long ago, I remember someone said, do what you love, love what you do. There's one thing I know is true. The secret to happiness is nothing new.
Do what you love,
love what you do.
Now we make choices every day that we live with, right or wrong. I have spent some time away, but I'm back where I belong. Doing what I love most, making music with my friends. I've invested heart and mind, now it's paying dividends.
Do what you love, love what you do. There's one thing I know is true. The secret to happiness is nothing new.
Do what you love,
love what you do.
Son, just do it.
Just do it.
Stick with what you love. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
May not be a millionaire, but screw it.
Just do it.
And you may not have money,
but you have peace of mind.
If you want some good advice, better take this tip from me. It's an introductory price, and delivery is free. Figure out what makes you smile, grab a hold and don't let go. Pretty soon after a while, you'll let everybody know.
Do what you love, love what you do. There's one thing I know is true. The secret to happiness is nothing new.
Do what you love,
love what you do. You love, love what you do. There's one thing I know is true. The secret to happiness is nothing new.
Do what you love,
love what you do.
That's Tim Bennett here at the Saturday Light Brigade. The Snap and Bug String Band is going to be here in just a moment or two. We're getting them ready to go. Here's a song for the season from Deanna Bogart.
Got one in on your mind.
That's your philosophy. Your philosophy. In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up, almost touch the sky. When the weather is right, you've got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find. You can find
Judith Owen. And before that, Deanna Bogart with a couple songs for summertime. And one more to come. And then the Snappin' Bug String Band here at the Saturday Light Brigade.
Thank you.
I know you recognize the song. I think you do, Summertime. Shelly Mann and His Men, the name of the band, the drummer, Shelly Mann. Well, Dave Christie and I were just trying to date one another. That is to like carbon dating. We weren't dating, but we were. I knew exactly where I was heading, but we were trying to remember things like when we met, how old we were, how many years ago it was. The nice thing about old time music is you're always younger than it, right? Pretty much. So, not that old friends are good friends. Dave Christie is here on guitar, Barbara Rossner on bass, Richard Withers on banjo, and I think Fife, perhaps not today, Fife and Mark Tamsula on fiddle, and you're in for a real treat to hear some old-time music. I suspect we'll talk about a little Pennsylvania history along the way, too. We're going to begin with a song. Together, this group is known as the Snappin' Bug String Band.
All right, we're going to start with the tune called Ed Trimmer's. Thank you.
a great way to get us started. And I'm always interested in learning more about the songs. And I know I can turn to Mark for a lot of that, but everybody here knows. But tell me about the song.
This is the music we got for you today. It came from the Sam Byard Collection. He was a professor at Penn State College. And this whole project started almost 100 years ago. The beginnings of it was 1928.
We were really little back then.
And he was still like an undergraduate at the time. And this was his summer vacation hobby, was to go around southwestern Pennsylvania. He stayed at his uncle's house in California, PA. And so he would go just expand out around there looking for fiddlers and collecting their tunes. Sometimes he would walk. Sometimes he'd hitch a ride. And each fiddler he'd find would give him a lead to go find somebody else. So from 1928 to 1963, it was like 35 years.
Yeah,
he did this collecting and collected over 1,000 tunes that way, all around southwestern PA. You know, Greene County was contained a lot of these, was a lot of the sources, and he made his way up to Armstrong County for some kind of spread out.
Would he go knocking on doors, or would he mostly listen first? I mean, how did he? And maybe you don't know. I don't know if it's been documented.
I think I don't know if he introduced himself first. You know, they were expecting him probably. But typically what I heard was they didn't want to just play for him right away. They wanted to get to know him.
Yeah.
So they would sit down and they would talk to him for a couple of hours. And then finally they says, oh, you know, what about them fiddle tunes? And then they'd finally get around to playing.
I believe he would just come in and ask people who played, and but you know he would come in and ask people who, you know, who around here knows some tunes and plays, but it took him a while to kind of get their trust.
Yeah, and I mean folks are relatively far apart, and it's not like we have the internet or anything to, you know, Professor Byard is here. Check him out. You can learn about him. Because somebody comes knocking on your door that you've never met before. And would he annotate these or make audio recordings, or maybe both?
He started using tape in the late 1940s. But back in 1928... he was doing this all by hand, and people could play tunes, and he could write it out like dictation. He could write out the music while he was listening to it.
He was a fife player, and you know, I mean, you mentioned fiddles. He also collected a lot of music from fife players, but he would learn the tune on the fife, and you know, very quickly, and then transcribe the tunes down before, you know, in the days before he was actually recording them.
So he could even probably commit a tune by memory using his fife and then go back home and maybe transcribe it there. Did he have that kind of memory?
He had an encyclopedic memory. If you know, you look through his books, so one of his projects was to kind of trace some of the connections between the music here in western Pennsylvania and the British Isles, especially Northern Ireland. And he had an ear for hearing families of tunes and connections. That was a real interest of his.
It's amazing.
Now, some of the stories that I heard from the old timers in the mountains said, and this was when they were in their 80s, they would say, I remember this Sam Byard that would come around, and they thought he was crazy because he wanted them to play tunes that their grandpap used to play in the barn. And it was like, what do you want to learn? You want us to play this tune? We don't even know the name of this tune, but we remember our grandpa used to play that. And they said, yeah, I'll write it down. You play it. And so they would start to play it, and then he would say, now stop. They'd get a quarter of the way through the tune, and he'd say, stop. Okay, now start up right from there. And the fiddlers would say, we can't just start in the middle of the tune. We've got to start all over again. So he was constantly stopping and starting them just so he would transcribe it while they were playing to get his accuracy that that he was able to get. But then people loved him, started to love him, because they realized he was documenting things here in Pennsylvania instead of many of the people who were going down south into West Virginia and into North Carolina. So Mr. Baird did us a big favor of playing these tunes.
Absolutely. An important part of history. And you don't, I mean, we hear about Moses Ash and other people that went collecting, but it sounds like he's one of the few, if not the only, who collected from Pennsylvania, and particularly the rural counties of Pennsylvania.
Not many other. Well, he had some collaborators that worked with him, Phil Jackson, and I don't, and some other ones, but he also, there was Tracy Schwartz, much later, collected some tunes in South Central Pennsylvania. But yeah, other than that, there's not a whole lot. Weren't people out there collecting.
This is the Snappin' Bug String Band. There are some albums of these tunes that we'll talk about how you can get a hold of them and find them. We'll give you a website maybe after the next song or two, in the event that it interests you. Let's hear something else, though. What would you like to do next?
First, I wanted to just say the last tune we did there, we called it Ed Trimmers.
I almost thought you said Hedge Trimmers at first, and then I said, no, that's Ed Trimmers.
Ed Trimmer. The tune came from John Wolford, who is a Fayette County fiddler, and his source was a Kentucky fiddler named Ed Trimmer. And the tune didn't have a name otherwise. It was just one of those many nameless dance tunes in the book. Now we're going to play one from a Greene County fiddler named Walter Ireland. Again, it was just he didn't have the real name mentioned for it, so we refer to it as Walter Ireland's Reel. And we're going to go into that as a medley with another tune called Gray Eagle. Thank you.
Snappin' Bug String Band, and that makes this a good time to let you know that there is a contra dance they're going to be playing at, and that is this coming Friday at Whiteman School in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh. I'm not a contra dancer or any kind of dancer, but that sounded like a – all these are actually songs that – would be fun to dance to.
Neither are we. That's why we stay safely on the bandstand.
It's got to take a lot of stamina to do that, though, right? I mean, to be up there playing all night, you don't want to miss a beat. Very important for the bass player, right, to keep things going, because you might cause a dance floor incident if you suddenly change.
Absolutely. We're key. Key to keeping it going.
Squirrel Hill is the highest altitude in Pittsburgh, so we bring this mountain music out of the Pennsylvania hills, and it seems to be fitting up there. And plus, they're up there on the third floor, if you can imagine that, and people are swinging and dancing and having a good old time.
Yeah, plus it's harder. I mean, you got to be in really good shape to play at a high altitude like that, you know.
They have oxygen tanks if you need them.
The Baird collection, is it five? How many CDs have you released? It's probably more
six.
Than that, six.
Sorry.
And those are available. What's the best place to go for folks? Is it simply Snap and Bug?
Snapandbug.com. You'll find the link to the store, and you can buy. You can order the CDs and get the real CD shipped, or you can get digital downloads if you prefer that. Put it on your device.
Yeah.
A lot of them in my basement, too.
Richard has them in his basement.
That's right.
Yeah, it's Snappin' Bug, just one G. There's no G after Snappin'. That's just the Snappin' Bug.com. And it's a good website just to look at to learn more about the whole process and about everything we've been talking through. I'm so eager to get to more, as much music as we can. What would you like to share with us next?
Before we change keys here, Fine Times at Our House. It's another tune from Walter Ireland. And
from the Baird collection with the Snappin' Bug String Band. These are arranged and so much fun to listen to. We have Dave Christie playing guitar, Mark Tamsula on fiddle, Richard Withers on banjo, and Barbara Rossner on bass. Do you have any sense of when Mr. Baird collected these tunes? were they sometimes played in groups around the house, or were they mostly solo fiddle players? It's probably hard to tell.
When he started using cassette tapes, there were a couple instances where there were someone playing backup, you know, someone on guitar or mandolin maybe. But I thought for the most part, he would just find the solo guys playing by themselves.
Yeah, that would make sense. Well, these guys are tuning. Can I say hello to the bass?
Always.
Have you named your bass?
No, actually, you know, I don't.
That's okay. Hello. Just a quick interview. I hope the bass will talk back.
This bass actually has a whole lot of history. I bought this as a travel bass from one of the finest bass players I know, Jim Kerwin from California, who was still David Grisman's bass player for over 30 years, and just a total inspiration for me. I took lessons with him for a bit, and so when I play it, I feel Jim through it still.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, though.
Thank you.
I didn't really notice the headstock until just now. That's gorgeous. Oh,
happy
look at that.
Happy to meet you. It's a David Gage travel bass, and they don't make them anymore. But when I started traveling around Appalachia and southern regions as well as Pennsylvania, it was a great bass. I could travel with it on an airplane and throw it in my car easily, and it was... Jim recorded with it, and it's a really good instrument, really consistent, and it's also lightweight. So
yeah, it's gorgeous. It really is beautiful. Looks like these guys are tuned up. I was assuming the bass didn't need to tune itself. That might not have been a good assumption on my part. You guys set?
We're set.
Okay, so what's next?
We're going to do a couple of tunes that were coming from the fifing tradition. The first one is called Few Days, and the second one's called Manessen. There's a little story with the Few Days at the end of the Civil War, when the treaty was signed and troops were waiting to go home. Apparently, they were kept waiting and kept waiting, and so this was a tune that they played a few days when people would ask, "Well, when are we going to be sent home?" Oh, a few days, which went on to months and years. So there was kind of something that Byard mentioned with that. The one thing I noticed about, as you mentioned, there's a lot of fife tunes, and I've played the fife on other albums here, but. It occurred to me that one thing that sounds nice with fiddle and banjo is that, I mean, with fife and drum, you had the melody and then a rhythm going in the background. And so I think, you know, fiddle and banjo, kind of replicates that in some ways and complements it.
Very much. Yeah, the engine of the banjo, the melody of the fiddle, it sounds good. And I know that Mark sent me a couple of articles about Manessen. Maybe after you play these, we can talk about those or before.
It wasn't much to mention, but we got interested in this. It's the second tune in the medley, and it comes from another fifer named Charles Guinier. While we're interested in playing the tune, we looked up things about Manessen and found out that it's listed in the Encyclopedia of Forlorn Places. I don't know if you've ever
found
that online. Well, I mean, Pittsburgh and Scranton are listed there too. It's not a all totally derogatory thing, but it kind of outlines towns that have diminished over time with the industry moving.
Manessen was huge, and one of the articles you had sent shows President Kennedy making a speech.
Yeah, I was surprised. In 1962, Kennedy stopped over there and drew like 250,000 people to Manessen.
Yeah, it's amazing. We forget how strong those Mon Valley towns, how large they were at the time. There's still some strength there, but they were each cities unto themselves back in the day.
Well, if it's anybody listening from Manessen, I'm sure it's a wonderful place to be. And
it's not forlorn.
That was...
No, we're forlorn. There's a lot A lot of forlorn places. Here again, the Snappin' Bug String Band. Snappin' Bug String Band, and I went to the cityofmanesson.com website as I was listening there, and at their peak, 20,000 residents in Manesson. Can you believe that? And now they are around 6,000.
Wow.
But a beautiful website. They were founded in 1897. I would have thought they were a little older.
Yeah, no, they built that city out of the plain farmland on the Mon River because Homestead had grown to such huge and had spread out to Mon Hall and spread out to everywhere. Workers, there were workers. They wanted more jobs, so this fella said, "Let's just buy up some farmland and we'll build." I think the tin plate mill was the first one down there in Manesson. And the name comes from the Monongahela. It was the Mon Essen. And Essen was the town in Germany, which was a heavy industrial town in Germany, which a lot of the Germans had come from to get away from the industry. They wanted to go back to farmland. So the Germans came over here from the old country, and then they still ended up living in a place called Mon Essen to work in the mills.
Did you write this website? I'm looking at it. I mean, everything tracks. The American Tin Plate Company is listed there.
What?
Yeah.
They also had a fife and drum corps, and that's where that tune comes from.
Yeah.
That collection.
And I have a friend who lives, I think she still lives in Manesson, but she grew up in Manesson and had a lot of pride in the town growing up, probably in the 60s, mid to late 60s. A lot of the music, I think all of the music you're hearing this morning, is from the Baird collection that the Snappin' Bug String Band has really, just as Mr. Baird did a phenomenal service of documenting this, to be able to bring it to people's ears so it will span yet another generation and beyond. It's really important work. I mean, it's fun to listen to, of course, but what you've done is really important. I'm sure, I know you take it seriously. I don't think any of these tunes would be remembered possibly at all were it not for your doing this.
Yeah, he collected these back, you know, a lot of the primary collecting might have been in the 1940s, you know, and all those sources are gone, and people, a lot of these tunes aren't familiar anymore to in the general playing crowd. But yeah, it's nice to still know something about, you know, what was here at some point.
And there were a lot of immigrant fiddlers that then came from the old country that worked in Manesson and early on, you know, they had to work 12-hour days and 7 days. So they didn't have time to fiddle like they used to in the old country, but they did. They were musicians and they played by ear, but they also then absorbed the music that was from the Scotch-Irish and the German in the hills of Pennsylvania. So many of our ancestors became Americanized in places like Manesson and playing their music.
Yeah, and out near where I grew up, I'm from Blairsville, and there was a fiddler named Sarah Armstrong from Derry, Pennsylvania. And by the way, my dad's listening in this morning. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Alex.
Hello, Alex. Mark says hi. Is he in Blairsville?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
So we're going to play two tunes from Sarah Armstrong. The first one is a Scottish called What the Devil Ails You. And the second one is Maggots in the Sheephide.
That may be the answer to the first one.
Thank you.
Snappin' Bug String Band, and Rick in Highland Park just wrote to say how much he's enjoying listening to you play, and in particular, bringing the music to life from pages. Also, Bonnie is on Observatory Hill, and she thinks Observatory Hill, not she thinks, but she's right, Observatory Hill is higher than Squirrel Hill. So, and I checked, and she's right, she lives in Observatory Hill. So that could be, I don't know if we've taken the third floor of the Whiteman School into account, but that could be a place.
Is she contradancing?
She might be.
Okay.
She might be a contra dancer. I could see her doing that. But Bonnie, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
I stand corrected.
I couldn't find. Probably the U.S. Steel Building is one of the highest points, or whatever it's called these days, UPMC's building. I think we are down to just time for one more selection. I knew this was going to go quickly. Snappinbug.com is where you can go to learn more about the Baird Collection. Do any of you have something to share that I didn't ask about or that we should mention? The Contra Dance this Friday at the Whiteman School in Squirrel Hill.
No, I'm glad it's over because I think I forgot to feed the horses before I left home this morning, but I'll take care of it as soon as I get home.
Are you serious? Oh, rats. I thought it would be great if you had horses.
We are working on a CD. What's putting these tunes together. We're going to, it's more of a band CD. We've kind of, doing it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
The first recording with all four of us together.
I was going to say, Barbara's relatively new to the ensemble, and Dave, no longer the juniorist member.
We're just going to play out to the end with this.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Let me thank all of our guests quickly. Addie Alexander, who you heard doing a wonderful job with an original song during our Youth Express segment. Rashab, Raul, Ogleen, Via, Naomi, and Solomon from the Immigrant and Refugee Program operated by Arise Pittsburgh. Cindy Piles from Kaiser, West Virginia, and its 150th anniversary celebration coming up next weekend. And the Snappin' Bug String Band. Ellis, great job with the mix today. And Chad Green, Ricky, as always. And now we can turn it over to you. We'll meet you here next week, by the way. Thank you for being part of today's program.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We're going to go out playing the tune, Snappin' Bug, from Homer Edinger. And one, two, three.